From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 103, Rob Parker.
Welcome into Inside the Parker, the All MLB podcast. I'm your host, Rob Parker. What a show we have for you today. First up, MLB Hall of Famer Rod Carew with that sweet swing. We'll talk about his new book. Also from the Marquee Sports Network, you know, the Cubs' new TV network, we will talk to Cole Wright. He will give us a preview about the 2020 Cubs, that and much more. But first, it's getting robbed.
Batter up!
To lead off, it's getting robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball.
Number one.
Baseball fans, relax. I get it. The initial talk between the owners and the players' union doesn't sound good. People are in a panic. Oh, my God. Are they not going to play baseball in 2020? Will it be 18 months before we see baseball again? I'm just not in that camp. I understand the players not wanting to give up a lot of stuff that they've had to sacrifice for in order to get. And I also understand the owners. You can't give out money that you don't have. This is going to be a very different baseball season when you talk about no fans, no concessions, no parking, no ballpark merchandise. That's a lot of money. Owners say it's 40% of what they bring in. I get the TV money is big and baseball lives off of it, but it's got to be a compromise. We got to have baseball. I do believe the two sides will figure this out, work it out, and players have a vested interest, because if this thing goes awry, it'll be hard for next year that the free agents and guys who don't have contracts will feel good about or be in a good situation. So I think this thing will get worked out. Both sides need to get this done. And best of all, and most of all, America needs baseball during this time. A July 4th start would be awesome.
Number two.
I'm sorry, I'm not on board with the universal DH. I understand they want to implement it just for this season because of the pandemic and what's going to be involved and pitchers and trying to protect pitchers. But I hope this isn't a precursor to a universal DH. The DH was introduced in the American League in 1973 when Ron Bloomberg stepped to the plate for the New York Yankees. He was the first DH ever. And the American League has had it. The National League has used it when they've played in American League ballparks. People always talk about it adds offense. It takes away strategy, though, in the managers using pitchers, pinch hitting, doing other things. I love the National League brand of baseball. I just do. And this whole idea of saving pitchers from getting hurt, I just don't remember too many pitchers ever getting hurt by batting or running the bases or whatever. It just doesn't happen that often. I think they understand their pitchers, and they run with caution, and they hit with caution. So I'll accept it this year. I'm just hoping when the CBA is open and they're talking about 2021 and beyond, that the DH is not a part of baseball in the National League.
Number three.
I'm sorry. I just don't get it. Time and time, these stories keep coming out about Derek Jeter being overrated. You could go ahead and concoct all of your numbers and your pencil protectors and try to talk about where he fits in when it comes to war and all these other things and try to convince people that Derek Jeter was overrated. There's also an eye test. I was in New York covering Derek Jeter when he broke in with the Yankees. And I don't know what else the guy has to do. He has a lifetime 300 batting average, had way over the 6 most hits in the major league, somewhere in that area. also won 5 World Series, made big signature plays, the flip in Oakland, the extra inning home run in the playoffs against the Orioles. I could just go on and on and on. I don't know what Derek Jeter needed to do. He needed to get to every ground ball to satisfy some people. I know people want to say it was only because him playing in New York, and that's why. Derek Jeter was a hell of a ball player, a Hall of Famer, who the writers, all but one, voted for him on his first ballot to the Hall of Fame. I think that rests my case. The people who cover the game the most and have seen him play the most all agree he's a Hall of Famer, and it's not even debatable.
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
All right, let's welcome into the podcast one of the all-time baseball greats, Hall of Famer Rod Carew with that beautiful swing. Rod Carew, welcome to Inside the Parker.
Thank you, sir. It's good to be on.
Appreciate it. And, Rod, you got a new book coming out, right? One Tough Out, yeah. Fighting Off Life's Curveballs. Please tell me about your new book.
Well, it's a book that we were really trying to get people to read to understand about, you know, my heart attack, my heart transplant, kidney transplant, to let people be aware of the problems they can have and to get themselves, get their hearts checked out and not do the, stay away from the things that they're doing that's going to create heart disease because, you know, heart disease is the number one killer in the United States. So it's a lot about that. So it's some more baseball things that I was questioned about. And it's to just let people be aware, you know, take care of your heart.
Your story is incredible. Born on a train in Panama. And to make it to all the way through poverty and all kinds of hardships growing up, all the way to the major leagues. And then not just making it to the major leagues, but being one of the all-time greats. The 1967 AL Rookie of the Year, the 1977 AL Most Valuable Player. When you think about your career and all the things you did and What stands out the most? What is there any moment that just makes you smile even today?
Well, you know, Rob, just being here because being in the big leagues, because it's something that I promised my mom that I wanted to do when I was about 7 or 8 years old, and fortunately, I was lucky enough, and I was blessed with a talent to hit a baseball and play a game that little boys play and go all the way to the top of my profession. And I'm proud of the way that I stayed around for 19 years. I was consistent in my job because that's what you want to do when you play sports or anything else in life that you want to do. You look for consistency, and I was able to perform consistently for 19 years.
And Rod Carew is our guest on Inside the Parker. And for you younger people, millennials who maybe don't even know who Rod Carew is, you need to Google him or go to the Wikipedia to check it out because Rod Carew is one of the greatest contact hitters who ever played the game. He won 7 batting titles in the American League. The second most AL batting titles in the history of baseball behind Ty Cobb. So this guy could swing the bat. And back in 2016, the AL batting title was renamed the Rod Carew American League batting title in your honor. Rod, can you teach people how to hit? Or is it just a natural thing, eye-hand coordination? I know you could teach people how to have better at-bats, but can you actually teach people how to hit?
Well, you know, I think so, Rob. You know, I think that, you know, if you teach them the simple things, which I try to do, you can make guys, good hitters or better hitters. And I enjoy it because it's fun. It's fun for me to teach, and when you know what you're talking about, and you try to make it simple and not confuse guys. I believe that you can. You know, you also have to have some knowledge of what you want to do and how you should go about it. So I've been through it all, and I was fortunate enough to come out pretty good.
How about the game and the way it's set up now? You only hit 92 home runs in your career, had over 3,000 hits, batting average over 300. When you see all the home runs, do you like that style of play or not?
Not really, Rob. You know, it's a different game today. You know, they're trying to turn, you know, decent hitters into home run hitters. And, you know, there's certain hitters that can hit the ball out of the ballpark. Certain hitters can't. So you have to try and stay within yourself and understand what you can do when you're at the plate. Now, if you start starting to uppercut the ball and swing and miss or pop the ball up, that's telling you that you can't. So stay within yourself and do what you're capable of doing.
His name is Rod Carew. His new book is called One Tough Out, Fighting Off Life's Curveballs. It was an honor and a privilege to have you on the podcast. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rob.
It's time for the Pocket Protector Central. The analytic numbers you need to know. Well, maybe.
Anthony Masterson is his name. BS Analytics is his game. What do you got for me, Anthony?
All right, Rob, when evaluating pitcher performance in the age of analytics, stat communities have tried to pinpoint all things a pitcher can actually control, namely strikeouts, walks, homers, and hit batters, and spit out a metric that works on the same plane as ERA. Now, our pals at Baseball Prospectus threw their hat into the fray a few years back with deserved run average. Without getting too much into the minutia of linear weights, what DRA does is take every batted ball event and assign a league average weight for that particular play. Now, once you have your base, then you work on context. Now, everything is taken into account for this metric, from league, time of game, temperature, stadium, team defense, even the quality of the opposing batter. DRA judges pitchers not necessarily on the outcome of a play, but on the run expectancy of each play. I know, it's a lot. But describing the tireless work that goes into a metric like this could take days. But in 1 minute, I can simply say the Nationals' Steven Strasburg led all of baseball last season with a 2.13 DRA, even though he finished a distant fifth in the Cy Young voting. Strasburg, maybe, was more dominant than we actually thought.
Anthony, I'm going to buy that. He was more dominant. He was a stud. Anthony Masterson, thanks for the knowledge.
That ball is.
It was a big week in the big leagues.
Who's up? I don't believe it. My, oh my.
Is it foul or is it fair? And now, here's ShadowLeague.com MLB insider, J.R. Gamble.
All right, J.R., the owners have spoken. They want the players to take a bigger reduction than originally thought if we're going to have baseball. Is that foul or fair?
That's foul.
That is a foul ball.
This sounds like chaos in motion to me, Rob. It's all backwards. The owners want the season so they can stop losing money and start making some. The players want to get paid too, but it seems like they're a bit more cautious about these COVID concerns. Telling them that they have to take a significant pay cut doesn't help the chances of this condensed, abbreviated 82-game circuit season even happening. I'm looking at these salaries. They fall miserably under the prorated rate. The proposed salary cut is even worse. So if players make $563K or less, they'll be making about $262K. Players who make in the $35 million range, which are only two, they'll be making $7.84 million under this proposed change. So the MLPA is not going to go for it. This deal looks like it's back to the drawing board if they expect players to take that significant of a cut.
I hear you. Something's got to give, and we need baseball, so hopefully they can come together.
Take out the paper, then the trash.
time for Trash Talk Twitter. Your chance to trash anyone or anything in Major League Baseball.
The winning tweet comes from at Rob Oak. He tweets, "What's up with the Oakland A's refusing to pay their minor leaguers? They only make $400 a week. God forbid the A's ownership dips into the $2 billion treasure chest to help the guys at the bottom." Shaking my head. If you want a chance to win a New Era snapback, hit us up on my Twitter, at Rob Parker, FS1. Trash anyone or anything in the world of Major League Baseball, and you could be a winner.
When Rob was a newspaper columnist, he lived by this motto: if I'm writing, I'm ripping. Let's bring in a writer or broadcaster, old or new.
All right, let's welcome to the podcast a buddy of mine, Cole Wright, who is the host of the pre- and post-game show for the Cubs on the Marquee Sports Network. What's up, Cole? How you doing?
Excellent, man. How you doing, Rob?
Man, doing good. Please, tell me about this new network. I'm excited. The Cubs put together their own television network to broadcast the games. You're a part of the broadcast, and I know you can't wait to get started.
Absolutely. You know, we've been doing shows at home just like everybody else right now. We've been doing a show called Cubs 360. You know, we have a, you know, rotating panel of guests. You know, a lot of different people stop by. You know, we've had, you know, George Will from the Washington Post, Michael Wilbon, J.A. Adonde, you know, a whole host of players. We've had David Ross on. We just had Mike Napoli on yesterday. So, you know, we're trying to stay busy during these ever-changing times. And, you know, that's one of that's one of the best things that when I look at how everything's been done and unfolded so far, you know, the chance for us to be able to go out there and you know, speak, have a different opinion on the same thing each and every single day, and it's nice to see how we creatively package that and you know how things have unfolded at the network. But I just can't wait to get back to doing pre and post game shows. Like I'm sure you can't wait to get back to watching regular old fashioned baseball the way it was intended to during the summer in the thick of things. You know, the dog days of summer, and you know, hopefully we'll see baseball back sooner than later, Rob.
No doubt about it. Tell me about the new skipper there, David Ross, the former catcher who has no managerial experience, but we've seen that done before, and he replaced, of course, Joe Maddon. Tell me about him, and what do we expect to see from the Cubs?
You know, I expect to see a lot of success early. I know for David Ross, as being, you know, year number one with no managerial experience, it's going to be a little bit different than what he should be used to in any other season where, you know, he'd have to navigate a 162-game schedule. And, you know, from all, you know, all accounts, it looks as if it's going to be an 82-game season, you know, if and when things finally do return. So he's going to have to, you know, maneuver his way through a whole different way. It's going to be a different season. There's not going to be, you know, the ability to mess up off of the top, you know, if that's, you know, for lack of a better term. But he's not going to have that cushion that, you know, usually a first-year manager would have. You know, the first half, you know, there might be some hiccups here or there, but you know, this is going to be a sprint to the finish. I mean, this is going to be the second half for the whole season. I mean, there's really going to be, you know, no break, no respite. So, you know, if the Cubs get off to a good start, which I really do believe that they will, I think, you know, things are going to, you know, fall right into place for David Ross. I mean, Rob, we all know, man, everyone that knows baseball and everyone that's been around the game, and if you've been able to sit and watch, we know that catchers usually make the best skippers. And I think for David Ross, knowing a whole handful of guys on the team and having played with them and won a World Series with these guys, I think it's going to make it that much easier for him to make that transition. You know, I spoke with, you know, Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant and Jason Hayward down in spring training in Arizona, and they said it's not the same David Ross. He's the manager now. He doesn't try to be the same David Ross who hit a home run in Game 7 of the World Series in 2016. He's David Ross, the manager. So I think as different as he is, I think he's also going to be the same, which is going to lend to his credibility this year.
The Cubs, when I look at the roster, haven't changed that much. What are the biggest additions to this team?
You know, as far as additions, I think it's the fact that they haven't made too many moves, like you just said. When it comes to big additions, I think
right,
the biggest difference is going to be off the top of the lineup. You know, with them going Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, 1-2, and then Javi Baez, potentially Kyle Schwarber, you know, after that, pick your poison. So, you know, for them to switch things up and go with their two best hitters really out of the gates, I think that's it's an unorthodox approach, but I don't see why it hasn't been used before. It's almost like back in the day when we saw Tony La Russa hit the pitcher ace. So right. He had that extra leadoff man, and then you could just, you know, almost pile on sooner rather than later. So I think it's the amount of firepower that this Cubs team can have, because like you said, a lot of familiar faces in the lineup, and, you know, familiarity breeds confidence, and confidence can lend, you know, to a lot of different wins. And maybe we'll see that. Hopefully we will. Like I said, in this shortened season, it's going to be a race to the finish, man.
When you look at the rotation, do you like it? Darvish, Hendricks, Lester, your top three, and Quintana is number four. Are you happy with that rotation?
I don't mind that at all. I mean, they get outs, and that's what pitchers are designed to do. And like I said, with that lineup off the top, I mean, they could be in a lot of battles, you know, and with Tyler Chatwood coming in that fifth slot, I mean, there could be a lot of instances where we see, you know, Cubs pitcher, you know, bottom of the second inning, at, you know, or, you know, whatever inning, wherever they're at, what if, but, you know, bottom of the first, you know, top of the first, it could be a Cubs lead, boom, just like that, whether on the road, whether they're at home. I mean, they could jump out real quick and find themselves in a comfortable position, but I feel like getting outs is the best thing, but they are getting a little bit older, so the sooner they get off to a better start with the offense helping them keep pace, I think things will be just fine and they'll slide right into place.
His name is Cole Wright. He is the pre- and post-game host of Cubs Baseball on the Marquee Sports Network. Cole, thanks for the knowledge. Appreciate you.
Hey, anytime, Rob. My pleasure.
Now it's time for some Diamond Dust with Wish TV's Phil Sanchez.
Out of here!
He played baseball in college. Now hear his MLB knowledge.
All right, Rob. So I was recently asked, if you could sit on a bench for an hour and talk with one baseball player, who would it be? Well, the list really long for me, but at the top, the late, great Roberto Clemente. Now, Clemente played 18 seasons with the Pittsburgh Pirates. He was a 16-time All-Star, National League MVP, led the league in hitting four times, and won 12 consecutive gold gloves. Clemente died in 1972 at the age of 38. 6 months later, he became the first Latin American ball player to be enshrined into the Baseball Hall of Fame. But as good as Clemente was on the field, it's what he did off the field that makes him stand out from the rest. Clemente was known for his fundraising and humanitarian work. He was well known for hosting free baseball clinics for underprivileged youth and delivered significant financial aid to his native Puerto Rico. His untimely death was the result of a plane crash. On that plane, supplies for earthquake victims in Nicaragua. And every year, Major League Baseball gives out an award to the player who best exemplifies the game of baseball, sportsmanship, and community involvement. The name of that trophy, and rightly so, named the Roberto Clemente Award. Having said all of that, the only player I would rather talk to for an hour on a bench would be Jackie Robinson. And I think Roberto Clemente would agree.
Number 21 in that Pittsburgh jersey. It doesn't get better than that.
Now bring in the closer.
Strike one.
Strike two.
Strike three.
He's out.
Here's why MLB is better than the NFL or NBA. And it isn't even close.
Here's the reason Major League Baseball is better than the NBA and NFL. It's the passion by fans. This fan, Mark Carfagno, believes Dick Allen belongs in the Hall of Fame. Hey, Mark, make your case.
I'll go with the one big statistic, which is his career OPS plus. It's 156, tied for 21st all-time in baseball history. And there's players in there, Babe Ruth, Ted Williams, Barry Bonds, Lou Gehrig, Mickey Mantle. These are all people in front of him. And the only players behind him who played in his era are in the top 50 are Willie McCovey, Willie Stargell, and Frank Robinson. And then the rest are nowhere to be found. So that's one statistic right there. And then you go, you always say, how does one do against their peers? How does one do against their peers? Well, he had an 11-year peak from 1964 to 1974, where his OPS plus was 165. That was the best in all of baseball, ahead of 13 future Hall of Famers, players like Mays, our players like Clemente, Aaron, Johnny Bench, players of that ilk, you know, better than anybody. He's not in because he has a bad rap. People think that he is a malcontent, and he's got that bad boy image, which is a stigma that is wrongfully placed on him. It's not the truth. It's all rumors. It's all started by that Bill James. He started it all. He called him a bad teammate, bad person, a cancer in his clubhouse, and caused his team more to lose than he did to win. And you ask all his teammates, I have testimonials from everybody, Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, Mike Schmidt, all saying that that is wrong. And they all say that Dick Allen belongs in the Hall of Fame.
Mark, I love your passion for Dick Allen. We'll see if he makes it into the Hall of Fame. In the words of New York TV legend, the late Bill Jorgensen, thanking you for your time this time until next time. Rob Parker, out.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.